Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the scripture readings for this weekend, all three readings concentrate on faith. In the first reading, the prophet Habakkuk teaches us that we must hold on to our faith, especially during the most challenging times of our life. In the second reading from St. Paul, Paul tells us that we must have faith in the church, especially in the ministers of the church, that they truly teach us authentic Catholic Church teaching. Finally, in the Gospel, Jesus teaches his apostles, and now us, that it is precisely in the struggle and the hardships of life that our faith grows and becomes stronger in order to do God's will. Turn first to the first reading from the book of the prophet Habakkuk. Right now, Israel is besieged. The Babylonians have invaded the country of Israel and have sacked every city, town, and village. In fact, the only city that now remains is Jerusalem. Habakkuk, as well as the Israelites, are hiding behind the walls of Jerusalem. They look out and they see the Babylonian army preparing to attack. That's why they say at the very beginning of the passage, it says, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen." All seems lost. It appears that this is the darkest time for Israel. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to conquer the Israelites. They're going to destroy the city of Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and take the people off into slavery. And yet Habakkuk tries to console the Israelites, and he says to them, "The rash one has no integrity, but the just one, because of his faith, shall live." Essentially, what Habakkuk is telling the Israelites is to hold on to their faith. Hold on to it, even when all seems lost, even during the darkest or the bleakest times, hold on to that faith, because it is faith, the faith in God, that will help us to persevere and pull us out of any type of challenge or difficult situation we may face in life. And many of us have. Many of us throughout our lives have felt at some point in time overwhelmed to the point where we feel that we just cannot continue. We say to ourselves, you know, I cannot go on. I have to give up. Maybe it's an unexpected diagnosis, or maybe it's an unexpected death of a loved one, or maybe it's problems in our marriages or strained relationships, or maybe it's the recession. We live under fear constantly of being laid off or losing our job. Regardless of what it is, we have all faced difficulties and hardships in our life. Unfortunately, no one is immune from these things. And during these times, we too, like the Israelites, cry out, "How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen." In these moments, we feel tempted to give up. But we must heed the words of the prophet Habakkuk when he says, "The just one, because of his faith, shall live." We must continue, despite the challenges or the struggles or the pain that we are suffering. We must hold on to our faith, because faith in our Lord helps us to persevere through our struggles. Faith gives us the hope that God will somehow, some way deliver us from our struggles. As the psalmist once says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are his people. He shepherds the flock he guides." What we must recognize is our faith gives us hope, the hope that God will deliver us from our struggles. Our faith is a message, a promise, that whatever we are enduring, God will save us and rescue us. I'll go to the second reading. Paul is talking about faith again, but in a different way. Paul right now is writing a letter to Timothy. He is in Rome, in prison, awaiting his own execution. Paul writes this letter, but instead of being wrought with anxiety over his impending death, he's more concerned about Timothy. Now remember, Timothy has been Paul's protege for many years. Timothy has studied under Paul. And it was Paul, along with the other bishops, who laid hands upon Timothy and ordained him as a priest, and then sent him out to lead a Christian community. That's why Paul reminds Timothy of his ordination. At the very beginning of the passage, it writes, "I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands." Here, Paul evokes the ancient symbol of our church, of the gesture of the gift of the Holy Spirit upon the person to become a priest. I can remember when the bishop laid hands upon me. I knew at that moment I would no longer be the same person. I knew at that moment now I shared something with Jesus Christ. I shared priesthood with Christ. And see, Paul is telling Timothy to remember that special moment. Furthermore, Paul is writing this letter because he is concerned about Timothy. Now, we have to understand, there's nothing wrong with Timothy's preaching or his teaching. It's all excellent. The problem that Timothy is facing is his age. He's a young man. What we have to recognize, in the ancient world, it was a patriarchal society. Wisdom was equated with age. The older you were, the more wiser you were. Therefore, Timothy, fully equipped with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to lead this Christian community, is not effective because the people are not paying attention to him because of his age. And so Paul evokes the memory of Timothy's ordination. More to it, Paul wants to remind Timothy that through the imposition of his hands, through his ordination, Timothy is now an extension of St. Paul, an extension of St. Paul's teaching authority as bishop. Now, this was exactly the same message that Archbishop Listecki preached about just a few weeks ago at the installation of me as pastor of this parish. Archbishop Listecki said he loves to come to parishes to install pastors. Why? Because the pastor is an extension of the archbishop, just like the archbishop is an extension of the pope. And only in that line do the ministers of the church determine authentic church teaching. He went on to describe, he says, the people bring the pastor or the bishops things, and the ministers of the church, the pastor, the bishops, they take what is brought to them, they look at it, they study it, they analyze it, they pray over it, and then they, and only they, determine the authenticity of Catholic Church teaching. And see, this is what Paul is reminding Timothy and now us, that we must have faith in the ministers of our church to determine the authenticity of Catholic Church teaching. Now, move to the gospel. In the gospel, it says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Here, Jesus teaches the apostles that is precisely in the struggle, in the pain that we have in our lives, the hardships that we endure, that our faith is strengthened. It does grow stronger so that we can follow God's will. I'll give you a great example of this. There once was a couple. They were Catholic and they were starting out their family. One year, the woman gave birth to a child. Soon after the birth, the child was diagnosed with being mentally retarded. It didn't make any difference to the couple. They loved that child just like they loved all their children in their family. 3 years after that birth, the woman became pregnant again. This time, the woman was approaching her 40s, and her physician told her, due to her age and given the last pregnancy, she stood a very good chance of giving birth to another mentally retarded child. And therefore, he encouraged her very strongly to seek an abortion. Well, the woman just was shocked at this, that the doctor would say something like this to her. Now, mind you, this was back in the late 1960s, early 1970s. Back then, you did exactly what your doctor told you to do. Furthermore, that was about 35, 40 years ago, and we know a lot more about medicine and science and technology than we did back then. But nonetheless, this woman was shocked at what her doctor was encouraging her to do. She went back home, she talked with her husband, and they spent many sleepless nights praying and agonizing over this decision. Well, they went to their pastor, and their pastor was very good to them. He prayed with them, he counseled them, and then he taught them about the church's teaching on the sanctity of life. And with faith, the couple made the decision that this was life. It was a gift from God, and therefore they could not destroy it. Whatever happened, they would love this child. Well, it came time for the woman to have her baby, and she gave birth to a very healthy baby boy. 20 years later, that baby boy grew up and became a priest. Now, 3 years after that birth, the woman became pregnant again. Now, this time, this woman was well into her 40s. Now, she changed physicians because she no longer trusted that first doctor. And yet, despite the change in physicians, her doctor said to her that because of her advanced age and because of her history of already giving birth to a mentally retarded child, that her risk factors now rose dramatically. In fact, he even guaranteed that there would be something wrong with this child because of her risk factors. He said that this child would have some type of defect, would be mentally retarded, something would be wrong with this child, and therefore he pressured the woman to get an abortion. He even told the woman, "I've done many of these procedures, and there are very few complications, and it's very easy." Again, this woman was shocked at what she was hearing. Again, she went back home, she told her husband, and once again, they spent many sleepless nights praying and agonizing over this decision. They went to their family and their friends, and it was amazing. Their family and their friends were all Catholic, and many of their friends and a few of their family members actually encouraged them to have the abortion. They said, you know, just get the procedure done. You know, follow the advice of your doctor. You know, we love you. We'll forgive you. God loves you. He'll forgive you. You know, just have it done. You'll be fine. Well, they were shocked at this. Again, they went to their pastor, and he was very kind to them. Once again, he prayed with them. He counseled them. And again, he reminded them of the sanctity of life. With faith, they decided to have this child. Again, they decided this was life. It was a gift from God. No matter what happened, they would love this child like they loved all their children. Well, the time came for this woman to have her child, and she gave birth to another healthy baby boy. And 20-odd years later, that boy grew up and became a priest. Now, the lives of these babies, these future priests, were threatened before they were even born. But because their parents had faith, because they struggled and they agonized, they had such hardship over deciding what to do, they were being pressured to do things that were contrary to what they believed in. Through all that agony and pain, they held on to their faith. And more to it, they trusted. They had faith in their pastor to teach them authentic Catholic Church teaching. And because of that, now there are two more priests in this world. There are two more lives here in this world dedicated to God. My friends, this is a great example. We all go through pain, suffering, hardships, whatever it may be, whether it's poor health, a death of a loved one, the loss of a job, strained relationships or marriages. We all suffer at some point in time. None of us are immune from these difficulties. It is precisely in these difficult times that we have to hold on to our faith, because our faith gives us the hope that no matter what happens, God somehow, some way will deliver us from our struggle. And more to it, we must have faith in the church and her ministers to teach us authentic teaching, authentic Catholic teaching. And it is precisely in those struggles, in that pain, in that hardship, that our faith does grow. It becomes stronger, and we are able to do God's will. Strongly encourage you, take some time this week, read all three readings, and also pray. Pray to God for the great gifts He's given us. First, the gift of life, the gift of our life, the gift of the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, and also the gift of faith, because it is that faith that always keeps us alive, helps us to endure all struggles. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.